Okay, we're starting here five lines down on the top of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara asks here, Amalei Rabbi Zera Labaye, Shara Niskalim, Deloktiv Behuskila, Degamre Me'ovi Idoni, B'mai Gamre. So here, Rabbi Zera asks Abaye, how do we know all the items that are going to be enumerated in the next Mishnah, which are subject to the punishment of Skila, how do we know that they get Skila? Certain of the Averot, Skila is written explicitly by them. That is, Avodat Kochavim, Nara Murasa, Chilul Shabbat, Ov V'idoni, Megadev. All of those have explicitly written by them, Yeragmuoto, or Yergimuoto, or Skila. There's a mention explicitly that that's the punishment. But the remainder of the items that are Chayavim in Skila do not have a term that directly connects them to Skila. Rather, it's learnt from Ov V'idoni. And that is in Vayikra Chof and Pashat Kedushim at the end of the Perek. It says, V'ish O'isha Kiye Behem Ov O'idoni Motu Matu Ba'evin Yirgamu Otam D'mehem Bam. So here the Pasuk again is explicit by Ov V'idoni that it is done through stoning, through Skila, because it says, Ba'evin Yirgamu Otam. Question is, if we want to learn from that paradigm of Ov V'idoni about Skila and extrapolate it to other areas of Halacha to say that the punishment of Skila is relevant, which words in the Pasuk grant us that limud? So there are two options. One option is motu matu. The other option is d'mehem bam. And so what Rabbi Zera is inquiring of Abaye is which of those two is the source for the fact that we learned skila by other items. But my gamre, b'motu matu gamre, oh, b'd'mehem bam gamre. Amale, so Abaye responds to him and says, b'd'mehem, d'mehem bam gamre. That the d'mehem bam is the limud that we have. So for instance, if you go to a pasuk that's earlier on in that perek, v'ish asher yishkavet eshet aviv, ervat aviv gila, motium tu shnehem d'mehem bam. So you see here, you could have used motium tu, or you could have used d'mehem bam to connect it to Ovi Yidoni. What Abaye says is the d'mehem bam at the end of that pasuk connects it to Ovi Yidoni. And that's how we know that eshet av is subject to skila. And the next one too. V'isha sheish gavet kalato motium tu shnehem tevel asu d'mehem bam. How do we know that a kala, a daughter-in-law, is subject to skila? That's again because it says d'mehem bam. And the next one. V'isha sheish gavet zachar mishkevei isha toiva asu shnehem motium matu d'mehem bam. So again there, d'mehem bam teaches us that homosexuality is subject to skila. In all of these instances, there's also the term motium tu or motium matu that could have been the connection. But Abaye says it's the d'mehem bam that gives us that connection. And that's how we know that other misurim have a punishment of skila, even though skila is not mentioned explicitly by them. D'iba motium matu or motium tu gamre, if you learn it out from the other option, which is motium matu, d'mehem lamali. Then what is the necessity for having the words d'mehem, d'mehem bam in these psukim? So what he's saying is those words d'mehem bam would be otherwise extraneous, and that's why we use them for the limud. Because if you use motu motu, then they would be extraneous, so we don't have any limud. Then if you use d'mehem bam as the limud, then motu motu, we do have something to do with that, and that's this. Velamai d'mehem, d'mehem gamre. Fine, so you're going to learn the gzer shava from d'mehem bam, d'mehem bam, motu motu lomali. Then what do you need that double lashon of motu matu? Kedetanya, like the bright, which we saw earlier, which is motu mata make rotzeachu. The person who murders will be put to death because he is a murderer. Ainli ele b'mitak tuvabo. I only know that you're allowed to put him to death with the punishment that he deserves, or the penalty which comes for someone who murders, which is herek. Minayim shimata yachol amito b'mitak tuvabo. How do I know that if I'm unable to execute him based on what the Torah prescribes, which is herek, that I have permission to ensure that he is put to death in any way possible? Tamalomar motumat hamakeh mikol makom. He should be put to death no matter what. That comes out of the lashon of mot yumat. That double lashon tells us that irrespective of the method, the most important thing is that this person is executed and put to death for the murder that they committed. Now, of course, the Torah prescribes that it be done through herek, but if that is not possible, then we would allow you to kill him in any way possible. And then we learn how to motu mat, and what we're going to say is the same thing by Ov Nidoni. The language of motu matu teaches us here and in the other cases that we mentioned before that if you're unable to execute them at skila with the punishment that is prescribed for them, then we would allow you to kill them through any means possible. Although the Meiri over here does have a qualification of that, and that is, by the case of Rotzeach, any individual has the right to take the life of the Rotzeach. If he ran away from Beit Din, if he somehow escaped the penalty that he was supposed to get, then anybody who finds him has the right to kill him. On the other hand, when it comes to other Chayvei Mitot Beit Din, only the Edim have the right to do so. It's not a free-for-all. It's not a vigilante society where anytime we think that someone is Chayav Mitah or Beit Din thinks they're Chayav Mitah, that anybody can come in and kill them. By Rotzeach, that's a particular dispensation that anybody can kill them. But by other Averot, it has to be done by either the Edim or the Beit Din. But again, it opens up the possibility of using alternative methods for killing the person who perpetrated the crime if we're unable to carry it out the way that we should. So Amalei Rav Achami Difti the Ravina. So now, after we have this exchange between Rabbi Zera and Abaye, Rav Other Amoraim trying to understand that exchange. That's Rav Achami Difti says, V'i b'mot yumatu gamre, even if you learn it out, b'mot yumatu, maika kashale. What's the issue? What would be the problem of learning it out of Motu Matu? Would you end up with any difference in the halacha? In the way that Rabbi Zera poses the question to Abaye, he says, do you learn it from Motu Matu, or do you learn it from Demei Bam? As if there's some nafkamina whether you learn it from one or the other. If every pasuk that has Demei Bam also has Motu Matu or Motu Matu, then what would be the difference? Whether you use the phrase Motu Matu, or whether you use the phrase Demei Bam, in either case, you'll end up with the same result, the same number of restrictions that are subject to skila. Then why make any fuss over it? Why differentiate between them? What's the difference? Ilema eshidish. If you want to say by eshidish, kakashule, that's where he has a problem. The meite ulamigmar motumat me ovivioni. Because by eshidish, you will say that the motumat, ish asher enough at eshid ish asher enough at eshid reu, motumat hanoef ve'anoafet. And say xerishova to ovidoni, ma lahalan biskila, afkan biskila. And from that you will say that eshid ish, or adultery, would be subject to skila. And we know that's not the case, because we've already seen a number of times that adultery is not subject to skila, but rather to chenek. So over there, motumat is found in the pasuk, the mehem bam is not found in the pasuk. So if you want to say that that's the nafkamina, that had we used motumat, we would then say, Eshet Ish, adultery is subject to skila. Now that we're using Dvayim Bam, it's not subject to skila. Gemara says, that wouldn't have been a Havamina. Midama Rachmana Arusa b'skila, since the Torah explicitly says by a Nara Hamurasa that she is segregated or singled out, that she has a different punishment in an adulterous case, and that is the case of Nara Hameurasa that gets skila. From that, Michlau de Nisua la beskila. You can infer from that that a Nisua, a regular married woman who's not a Nara Murasa, would not be subject to skila. So then that wouldn't be an Ahavamina. Even if you use Motumat, we still wouldn't have connected it to Eshidish, because it's clear from the Torah that Eshidish is not subject to skila. Now Tosfot points out over here that the Gemara's Havamina to say that you would learn out of Eshidish is a little strange. Because Eshidish, as we know, is subject to Chenek, which is the lowest form of punishment you can get, and is also, as we saw in yesterday's daf, the Stam Mitah Shebe Torah. It's the default death penalty in the Torah. So then why would you need a Gzer Shava at all to teach you Chenek? If there was nothing in the Pasuk and just said that you were subject to the death penalty, we would automatically assume that it was chenek. And therefore the gzeirah shavah would be completely unnecessary. And so therefore Tosfot says that eshet ish is not exact, but rather just an example. There are other cases like rotzeach that say motumat. Rotzeach is subject to herek. You have other places where the punishment is more explicit, and you can make a gzeirah shavah to them to learn that punishment rather than the punishment of skila. So it wasn't necessarily eshet ish that we were looking for in particular. It's just representative of another class of isurim that have a different penalty than skila. Ela makeavi vimo kakashile. Hitting a parent is where we would have run into a problem. The meite ulamigmar mi ovi idoni. Why don't we learn from ovi idoni that a person who injures their parent, hits their parent, is subject to the death penalty of skila. And so that would be the problem, because over there again, it uses the terms motumat, okay, avivimo, motumat. And if you say motumat and connect it to ovidoni, you would think maybe there should be skila by makeh avivimo. And that's why we use the mehem bam, or that's the question. So Gemara says, ad gami me ovidoni, the Gamru Me'eshirish. Before you learn from Ovidoni, which is Motyumat, and Motyumatu, you would say that it's subject to Skila. Why don't you say the Motyumat connects to the Motyumat of Eshirish of Neuf, where there we know for sure it's not Skila. And so why would you then connect it to Ovidoni and say it's Skila? Why don't you connect it to Eshirish and say that it's subject to Cheret? Diatarashai, the Moshchada, Achmirla, Elalakelala. Because what gives you the right to learn the more stringent Gzeres Shava, rather than learning the more lenient Gzeres Shava? If you have a choice to learn Makeh Aviv V'Imo from Ovi Noni, which would subject you to Skila, or you would learn it out of Ish Ish, which would then subject the individual to Chenek, why would you pick Skila over Chenek? You have a choice of which Limud to go with. We would always pick the lighter form of punishment, because this is a fake and an issue where we don't know. You always would go the Kula. Amalei, Shara Niskalim, Gufayu, Kakashale. The remainder of those that are subject to stoning is what is plaguing him. Di bimotumat gamre. If you learn it out of yotumat, ad gamre me'ovidoni, legamru me'eshirish. So that's what the nature of Rabbi Zera's question, which is, if you learn out of motumat, then the remainder of the items that we learn from Ovidoni, you have an alternative. You could have learned them out of Eshedish, because Eshedish shares that common language of Motyumat. So if Eshedish says Motyumat, and that means Chenek, and if Ovidoni that says Motyumato, and that means Skila, and now I have a choice in all those cases that we thought maybe they should get Skila, to compare it to the case of Eshedish, or to compare it to the case of Ovidoni, in all those cases I'm going to opt to go to Kula, because it's a fake. And therefore I'll give the less severe punishment. So that's why Motyumato would have had impact if we used that as the limud. We would have far fewer individuals or violations that were subject to skila. Now that we know, according to Abai, that the man bum is the key words, then we know that that does not have a parallel in Eshedish or somewhere else. The man bum teaches us that there is skila without any interference or problems of possibly wanting to learn it from another paradigm. And that's why Rabbi Zera was asking Abai the question. And Abai's answer is that the limud comes out of demehem or demehem bum. Right, so now we begin the next Mishnah. Until now we were dealing with the procedural ways that these things are carried out, and we went through Skila and then the Arba Mitot. Now the Mishnayot are going to list for us the Isurim, restrictions or violations that are subject to Skila. Truth is that the Mishnah seems to group some of these items together, but it's not easy to grasp or conclude how exactly these were grouped together, or the order of the Mishnah in determining or telling us that these Isurim result in a punishment of Skila. Oh, in general, it does follow where these Psukim are found in the Torah, with the latest one being found in Sefer Dvarim, which is Nara Murasa, and the earlier ones being found in Sefer Vayikra. And so it's quasi in chronological order with regards to that. But now the Mishnah begins. Eloen and Iskalim. These are the individuals that are subject to Skila. That is, Habala Aim, an illicit affair with a mother. Bala Isha Ta'av, the wife of your father. So sometimes, and we're going to deal with this in the Gemara as well as in the Mishnah, Aim and Isha Ta'av are synonymous. When the person's mother is married to his father, then the mother is both his mother and his father's wife. On the other hand, you could come up with scenarios where either one might be true and not the other. I mean, an individual can have a mother who's not Eshedav. She's no longer married to his father, and therefore she's not Eshedav. The other way around, you can have a second marriage in which the father is married to someone Eshedav. That's not the mother of this individual. So you have three different permutations, which you can have a mother independently, a wife of a father independently, or the combination of both. A mother who is the wife of the father. Both of those are subject to Skila. And that we already read before, which is, Be'ish Sheish Gavit Eshet Aviv, Ervat Aviv Gila, Motyum Tu Shnehem Demehem Bam. So there you see Demehem Bam that is found by Eshet Av. By a Bala Aim, we're going to see later on in the Gemara that they have to learn that out of a Gezeres Shava. Bala Kala, the daughter-in-law, we read that pasuk before as well, Ve'isha Sheish Gavit Kalato, Motium Tushneem, Tevel Asu, Demehem Bam. Bala Zachor, again we read this pasuk, Ve'isha Sheish Gavit Azachar Mishkevei Isha, Toiva Asu Shneem, Motium Atu Demehem Bam. So that's for homosexuality, subject to skila. Vala beima, va'isham eviata beima, bestiality in both directions, as both a man or a woman who engages in bestiality. And again, that is found in the Psukim, in Parashat Kedushim. So again, the Mayim Bum says that bestiality is subject to skila. Ve'amigadef, where it's explicitly stated that there is skila. Avadat kochavim, again, where it's explicitly stated that there is skila. Ve'notein mizaro lemolech, someone who brings or sacrifices a child to the molech. Now here, you have to argue that notein mizaro lemolech is not avodah zarah. And that's what Rashi points out over here. Kasar haitana molech lavodadat kochavim. You have to believe that zaro lemolech is not avodat kochavim, because otherwise it'd be subsumed under avodat kochavim. So the fact that the Mishnah enumerates it as a separate category means that it must be a separate restriction. Mitznan avodat kochavim, mitznan molech. Elachok avodat kochavim ba'almahu. It is a practice of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, but it's not necessarily Avodah Zarah in and of itself. And so it's their practice, but not necessarily connected or a worship of Avodah Zarah. And so that has the punishment of Skila, even though it's not Avodah Zarah. It's an independent restriction that is being violated. Bal Ovi Doni, that's what we started with today, the Bal Ovi Doni, which again the Gemara will discuss what exactly these issues are, problems of Bal Ovi Doni. There we said in the pasuk it says Yir Gmu Otam Demeim Bam. It's the source for Skila and many other places. V'Mechalel Ata Shabbat. There again, if you profane the Shabbat, that is explicit in the Torah. V'Mechalel Avi V'Imo, one who curses their parents. That's found here in Parshat Kedoshim as well. Ki Ish Ish Asher Yekalel Ata Avi V'Imo Modumat Avi V'Imo Kilel Damav Bo. So again, you have the Damav Bo, which teaches you that there is Skila by Hamikalel Avi V'Imo, and you can see in Rashi, Hechmir Bibabakeh, that Kilel is subject to Skila, whereas Makeh is only subject to Chenek, Mishom Deikatarte. Because by Kilel, there's two things. Klona Vivimo, the embarrassment of his parents, the mistreatment of his parents. That's true in Mikalel, that's true in Makeh, Vivimo. But here, Umotzi Shem Shamayim Levatala. On top of that, you're also saying God's name in vain because you're cursing them with God's name. In that case, you're subject to skila because you have two negatives or two strikes against you. Whereas Makavi Vimo only has one of those strikes, which is the embarrassment or the mistreatment of the parents. It does not involve the Motzi Shem Shamayim Levatala. So Makavi Vimo will have a punishment of Chenek, whereas Mikalel Avi Vimo will have a punishment of skila. Baba Anara Murasa, someone who has an extramarital affair with the Nara Ameurasa, that will result in skila. Again, that's explicit in the psukim. Vamesit, Vamediach. Mesit is someone who causes individuals to worship Avodah Zarah. Mediach is someone who causes a city, an Irani Dacha, to come about. Both of those are subject to skila. We remember that there is a machlok between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon with regards to Mediach. This is the opinion of the Chachamim that Mediach is subject to skila. Vamechashef, someone is involved in sorcery. Uben Sorer Umore. As we saw in last week's parsha, it says by Ben Sorer Umore, Urgamua Konje Iro Ba'avanim Vamei Tuviyat Arami Kibecha Kol Yisrael Yishmeu Ve'iro. So there you see that Rigimat Avanim is explicitly stated by the Ben Sorer Umore. So now the Mishnah goes back and discusses this interplay between Aim and Eshadav. Abala Aim, Chayav Aleha Mishum Aim. Someone who has an illicit relationship, an relationship of arayot with a mother, is chayav for the punishment or the violation of the restriction of aim, umishum eshadav, and the violation of eshadav. Now when it comes to the death penalty, this is not so relevant because you can't kill a person twice, and since both of them are subject to skila, there's really no nafkamina that the person's in violation of both aim and eshadav. On the other hand, if it's done b'shogeg, then there is a nafkamina because there is also a punishment of karet associated with these arayot, meaning that if you can't get the punishment of beit din, the skila done, then this individual is subject to karet, and there an iser lav that involves karet has a korban chatat associated when you do it b'shogeg. So what the Mishnah is telling you is that if it's done b'shogeg, you're actually in violation of two isurim, and you have to bring two chatot, one for the isur of aim, and one for the isur of eshadav, because the mother is also the wife of the father. again, in a case where they're still married. And based on the latter part of the Mishnah, it seems that even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that if it was Eshet Av and Eshet Ish, that he would believe that both of those restrictions are violated. He only has a problem when it's both Imo and Eshet Av, that you should not be Chayav for both of those restrictions. Although the Balei HaTosafot suggests that there is no Eshet Ish in that case, because the scenario was after Mitat Av. It's after the father already passed away. So there are restrictions of Aim and restriction of Eshet Aviv, but Eshet Ish is no longer relevant. And that's why in that case in the Mishnah, it doesn't mention Eshet Ish. Yehuda Omer, Inu Chayav Elo Mishum Ha'Aim Bilvad. Yehuda disagrees and says, you're only Chayav for mother, not for the wife of the father. Habal Eshet Av, Chayav Mishum Eshet Av. If you have a relationship with the wife of the father, then that results in a violation of the restriction of Eshet Av. U Mishum Eshet Ish. But there's also a secondary problem, which is Eshet Ish, that's an adulterous affair. So now you have both adultery and Eshet Av. And you have two Isurim there. Ben Bechaye Aviv, Ben Achar Mitat Aviv. The restriction against Eshet Aviv is not only when the father is alive, it even persists or remains in place after the death of the father. Of course, the mother would stay in place because that doesn't change with the death of the father. But even the father's wife, that's not the mother, after the death of the father, Eshet Aviv remains restricted to the son. Ben Minay Erusin, Ben Minay Suim. Doesn't matter how married they are. If they're only halakhically engaged, or they have consummated the marriage, either one of those will result in this restriction being violated. Habal kalato, person who engages in this illicit affair with the daughter-in-law, chayav aleha mishum kalato, it's a problem of a restriction of daughter-in-law, umishum eshet ish, and again because of adultery. Ben bechayei bino, ben achar mitat bino. Again, it's irrespective of whether the son is still alive. The wife of the son, the daughter-in-law, always remains restricted whether the son is alive or whether the son passes away. And even though the son had passed away, there'd still be a restriction of Eshet Ish if the Kala got married to someone else. That's the Ran suggests. And in this case, the Kala got remarried, and what the Mishnah is telling us is that the restriction of Kala still exists, even though the woman has remarried and she is an Eshet Ish. Ben min Erusim, Ben min Nisuim. And again, doesn't matter how married he is to this woman, whether it's kiddushin, it's halachic engagement to the woman, or consummation of the marriage, nisuin, both of those result in the violation of the restriction being mentioned, parshat achremot, and the punishment that's brought in parshat kiddushin. Now the Gemara wants to understand this position of Rav Yehuda. Tanya, Rav Yehuda Omer, im lo hayta imo ruya le'aviv, if his mother was not appropriately married to his father, inu chayav elo mishum ha'aim bilvad, then you're only in violation of the restriction of mother, not in violation of the restriction of Eshet Av. The point being that Eshet Av is only Eshet Av when it is an Ishut, when it is a marriage that is valid. If there's no valid marriage, then there's no Eshet Av. So, my Eina Re'uya Lo. What does it mean that it's an inappropriate marriage for his father? If you want to suggest it's a marriage that involves a woman who's restricted him in Bikaret, or restricted him by a death penalty that could be imposed by Beitin, that would suggest that the child that was born was a mamzer. Michlau, from that you would infer the Rabbonon Savre Afagav de Inaruyalo, that the Rabbonon disagree with Reb Yehuda, and they would say that even if this woman is inappropriate for him, and the Kedushin are not Tufsin in this woman, that they would still think that you're in violation of Eshet Av. How could that be? If Kedushin are Tufsin, how do you have a Eshet Av? You're unable to generate a halachic marriage with this woman. So that can't be the explanation. As the Balei Tosafot point out, everybody agrees that Chayve Kretot and Chayve Mitot Beitin, Kedushim ain't Tofsin Bahen. You don't have an ability to establish Kedushin with these women. And that is even according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehoshua, who believes that a mamzer is only created from chiyuve mitat beitin, that only an illicit relationship that involves a punishment that can be met out by beitin, that relationship results in a mamzer. Chiyuve karet does not produce a mamzer, according to Rabbi Yeshua. Nevertheless, the Balei Tosafot say that Rabbi Yeshua will agree that kedushim are not tovsin by karet, and they're not tovsin by mitat beitin. And even though in the Gemara, in Yevamot, in the Kedushin, we discuss the fact that there's a correlation between the two, that any place where the Kedushin are in Tofsin, then the resultant child is a mamzer. Now you're suggesting, according to Rabbi Yeshua, that even though there's no Kedushin by Chiyuve Karet, nevertheless the product of that union would not be a mamzer. So that goes against that principle. And Tosfot says, ein ochanami. Rabbi Yeshua does not subscribe to that principle that correlates the inability to generate kiddushin with the resultant child being born be considered mamzer. So he disagrees with that principle. But the basic premise here is that you can't have kiddushin. So have eshet av. Ela chayve lavin. Speaking about a lav. A restriction, a simple restriction of a lav, where normally you would say kiddushin tov simbo, that's the view of the chachamim. The only person who disagrees with that is Rabbi Akiva, who believes that even by chiyuve lavin, you still have a problem of kiddushin tov sin, and kiddushin do not take effect there. And according to Rabbi Akiva, it would also produce a mamzer. What the Gemara is suggesting here is Rabbi Yehuda sabra like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Akiva, damar in kiddushin tov sin b'chayve lavin. So here where there is an iser lav involved, with a father marrying this woman, according to the Chachamim, Kedushin are Tovsin, even though it's an illegal, illicit marriage. Nevertheless, since it does not involve Karet or Chiyuve Mitat Beitin, Kedushin are Tovsin. If Kedushin are Tovsin, then you are subject to Eshet Av, or violating the restriction of Eshet Av, because she is your father's wife. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda believes that Kedushin are not Tovsin by a case of Chiyuve Lav, then over here you can't generate a proper marriage when there is a lav involved. There is no kiddushin, and therefore there will be no eshet av, because there's no ishut if there's no marriage over here. So that will explain the difference in opinion between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, who, according to the Braita, Rabbi Yehuda suggests that eshet av only doesn't apply when the woman is inappropriate for the father, and that inappropriateness is in a case where there was an isur lav for their marriage to go through. In that case, there will be no eshet av, there'll only be a restriction of aim, because the father's marriage is not considered a marriage. According to the Chachamim, who say that Isurei Lav do not prevent the marriage from being initiated, then they will believe here that there is Eshet Av, and that's the difference in their opinion. Rabbi Yehuda thinks that there is no Eshet Av in these cases. The Chachamim think that there is Eshet Av. So right now we have a Braita that seemingly explains the machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim differently than our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, it sounds like there's an argument in a case where the individual has a mother who is also Eshet Av. Chachamim say that if you violate that restriction, you're in violation of both Aim and Eshet Av. Rabbi Yehuda says if you violate those restrictions, you're only chayav for Aim, not for Eshet Av. That's what our Mishnah says. But a Braita that narrows and changes their machloket to refer to a case where the father is married to a woman who is inappropriate for him. The Torah does not allow him to marry such a woman. But it's only a violation of a lav. And the difference of their opinion stems from whether they believe that Kedushin are Tovsin by Chiyuvei Lav. And the Chachamim would say Kedushin are Tovsin. Say that you're also in violation of Eshet Av, not just Aim. And Rabbi Yehuda, who says that Chiyuvei Lavin do not allow for Kedushin Mitovsin, say you're only restricted because of Aim, you're not restricted because of Eshet Aviv. Now, Meitiv Rabbi Shaya, Iser Mitzvah, V'Iser Kedusha, Cholzot, V'lo Yimit Yabmot. This goes back to Yivamot. And Yivamot, we know that if a woman falls for Yibam before a brother, and there is some restriction that precludes them from being able to be married. If that restriction is an Isur Karet, an Isur Mitat Beitin, meaning Arayot Min HaTorah, then there is no need for Yibam, but there's also no need for Chalitza. There is no ability over there to have any consummation of a Yibam. And therefore, you don't need to do anything because Gemara learns out that those automatically release the woman, and there is no relationship that exists between them. On the other hand, there are other Isurim, Isur Kedusha and Isur Mitzvah, which the Gemara in a second will define. In those cases, you're either only in violation of a Din Derabbanan if you perform Yibam, or maybe a Din D'oraita that only involves a Lav if you perform Yibam with that woman. In that case, we recommend Chotzot V'lo Mityabmot. You can't perform Yibam, because if you perform Yibam, you'll either be in violation of a Lav in the Torah, or you'll be in violation of a rabbinic restriction. So therefore, we're not going to allow you to perform Yibam. On the other hand, this is not a recognized dissolution in the Torah. If it's rabbinic in nature, of course, and even those things that are Lavin, the Torah does not automatically think that that dissolves the necessity for Yibam in those cases. And therefore, you have to do chalitza in order to release the woman. And that's what it means here, chotzot, velo mityab mot. And as Rashi points out of here, from the Gemara in Yivamot, and if you want to suggest that teite ase, bidachi lota ase, Let the assay, or the requirement to do yibum, overcome the problem, the lotasay, of not engaging in these types of relationships. The answer is that the Gemara says, gzera birishona, atu biashnia, shemba mitzvah yibum. That since yibum, or the mitzvah yibum, only exists in the first bia, then in Ochanami, you're right. You could have assay doka lotasay in the first bia. The problem is that in the second bia, you no longer have the mitzvah of yibum, and then the restriction will be in place. So therefore, we are gozer by bia rishona, ato bia shnia. We don't want anybody to get involved with the yibum and have a bia that is restricted either min Torah or mid derabanan. And therefore, we say that there is no yibum by bia shnia. And then we look at bia rishona, which when there is a mitzvah to say, which would have overridden those restrictions. Nevertheless, we say don't get involved there, because if we allow bia rishona, it might result in bia shnia. And so in order to preclude any type of relationship happening over here, they restricted utilizing the principle of asei doka lo tasei by yibum. So now the Mishnah there says, iser mitzvah shniot idivresh sofrim. When it says iser mitzvah, it means secondary arayot midrabanan. It's an extension of the restricted relatives that the Torah prescribes. The Chachamim added on what's called shniot le'arayot, secondary or derivative arayot, whereby they expanded the periphery of familial members around the individual who are restricted because of erva. But my kari lohu iser mitzvah. So then why are they called iser mitzvah? Just call them that there are shniot arayot or iser derabanan. She mitzvah lishmoa divrei chachamim. Because it's a nice way to say that when an iser mitzvah is imposed midrabanan, it is binding because there's a mitzvah to listen to what the chachamim say. Iser kedusha. What is an Iser Kedusha? That's when someone profanes their Kedusha. Almanala Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol marries a widow, which he is restricted from doing. Kedusha v'chalutzah l'kohen yajot. Or a regular Kohen who can't marry a divorcee, or a chalutza. Ve'amai kari lohu Iser Kedusha. So then why does it call them the Iserim of Kedusha? Tichtiv kedoshim yu l'elohim. Because it says about the Kohanim that they're going to be holy to God. But you see, the Kohanim are called Kadosh, and they have a requirement to keep themselves Kedoshim. And if they profane that through a problematic marriage, then they are losing that Kedusha. And that's why it's called an Isur Kedusha, because it's found in Parshat Emor, where the restrictions of marriage, a Kohen Gadol to an Almana, or a Kohen Gadol to a Grusha are found. And that Parshia says the reason for the restrictions is Kedoshim Yu Leluim, that they should be holy to their God. The Mishnah itself explains Iser Mitzvah, or the definition of Iser Mitzvah is Divrei Sofrim, and Iser Kedusha is referring to the Kohanim. The insertion of why is it called an Iser Mitzvah, and why is it called an Iser Kedusha, is an addition of the Amoraim. And that's what Rashi explains, that the Tanaic authors gave us the definition of Iser Mitzvah being Divrei Sofrim, and Iser Kedusha dealing with Kohanim. Then the Amoraim came along and explained why the Tana called them Iser Mitzvah and Iser Kedusha. To that, Rabbi Yehuda, Tani Allah, there are a qualification of that where we say Rabbi Yehuda Machlif. Rabbi Yehuda flips the positions. Now when he flips the positions, it means that Iser Mitzvah refers to the Kohanim, and Iser Kedusha refers to Shniot, Larayot, or Midivrei Sofrim. Chilufei Yehuda Machlif. He does flip around the positions, Ha Chalitza Bayim, but he still requires you to do Chalitza. And that we saw before, that Iser Kedusha and Iser Mitzvah require Chalitza and not Yibum. So that means that you would have otherwise been able to generate Kiddushin with these individuals, and that's why you have a requirement of Chalitza. Well, if that's the case, that's against the position of Rabbi Akiva. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, the Iserim of Kuna that are in Iser Lav, those preclude you from generating Kiddushin. And if you can't generate Kiddushin, why do you need Chalitza? There would be no need for Chalitza in that case. You only need Chalitza where it's possible to marry the woman, but there's some restriction preventing you from doing so. But if you believe that, like Rabbi Akiva and Isur Lav does not allow for Kedushin to go through, then over here, obviously you can't do Yibum, but also you shouldn't need Chalitza. Isak Adatcho, if you believe Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Akiva severely, Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to that position of Rabbi Yehuda that ain't Kedushin Topsin Bechivi Lavin, Mechdei, Chayve Lavin, Rabbi Akiva, Ki Chayve Kreito Tami, that for Rabbi Akiva, Chayve Lavin are no different than Chayve Kretot in Arayot. V'Chayve Kretot, Lav B'nei Chalitza V'Yibum Ninu. And when it comes to anybody who's subject to a Chiyuv Karet, there's no din of Chalitza or Yibum. They go, or they're released without any performance of these. Then, over here too, you would have the same thing, which is that if you believe like Rabbi Akiva, we're speaking about Chiyuvei Lavin, then there should be no need for Chalitza. Although Tosafot does question the underlying premise here that if you think Chiyuvei Lavin, Dushin and Tosin Bahem, that they should have the exact same din as Chiyuvei Karein, because there could be a difference between them, which is the concept of Asei Dochalotase, which has application by a regular Lav, does not have application by Chiyuvei Kareito. So how do you know, or why does the Gemara assume that just because Kedusha Main Tovsimbo, that we're going to treat a Chiyuvei Lav in the same way that we would treat Chiyuvei Karet, although that is the underlying assumption of the Gemara. My answer is the Dvarav de Tanakama Kamar, Velelo Svirle. He's saying it according to the wording of the Tanakama. He's saying, listen, I don't believe that there's any need for Chalitza here at all. But according to you, who thinks that there is a need for Chalitza, in this case, at least agree with me that definition should be flipped. You think that Isur Mitzvah are Shniot Arayot, things that are Derabanan? I think Isur Mitzvah is referencing to the Kohanim. And then Isur Kedusha should be the Shniot Arayot. And that, in that way, you got the definitions backwards. I don't agree with your din entirely, but if you do subscribe to your position, you need Chalitza over here, you should give the explanation of the terms differently, the opposite of what is found in the Mishnah. So when Rav Yitzchak showed up, he had the machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim similar to our Mishnah. So we brought a braita before which seemingly altered the machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim and made it in a case where there is a chiyuv lav and there's an inappropriate marriage between the father and this woman. And the question was, what's that level of inappropriateness? And if it was a chiyuv lav, that's where we said a machlok of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim existed according to the braita. Our Mishnah clearly had a different view as to what the machlok between them was. And here we have a braita that corroborates the version that we have in our Mishnah, which is Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Einu chayav lo mishuma aim bilvad. When you have both aim and eshet av, you're only chayav for aim. B'taim amai, what's the reason? Bai amar abai damar kro. The pasuk says, imcha hi, that she is your mother. So in Parshat Achrimot, when it's listing the restrictions of the Arayot, over there it says, Evata vicha vervati mecha lo tigale, imcha hi lo tigale ervata. Then the subsequent pasuk is, Ervat eshet avicha lo tigale, ervat avicha hi. So here you have those two restrictions in a row, imcha and avicha. So now what Abaye suggests is, imcha hi, mishum imo ata mechayvo, v'yata mechayvo mishum eshet av. Imcha hi is an exclusionary term, an exclusive term, saying that you're only chayav for ima, you're not chayav for anything else. And that's why, if it's both aim and eshet av, you only get the punishment of aim. Obviously, again, it's relevant when you're shogeg. In a shogeg like that, you don't have to bring one korban chatat. Ele me'ato. If that's the case, then what about the next pasuk in the Torah, which we just read? Ervat eshet avicha lo tikaleh, ervat avicha hi. So again, there you have a language that sounds like an exclusive term or a mute. Avicha hi. Mishum eshet av ata mechayvo, v'yata mechayvo mishum imo. That you're mechayev for eshet av, but not for aim, because that's excluded from the word he. So if that's the case, ela imo shi eshet av, a mother that is also eshet aviv, koyochi umematle, if you go this direction, you go to aim, you go and exclude eshet av. Koyochi umematle, if you go to eshet av, then you're excluding aim. Hashta imo she'ena eshet aviv mechayev. The Torah clearly makes you chayav, it's one's mother, but not the wife of the father. Eshet aviv she'ena imo, mechayev. And also in a case where it's the father's wife, but not the mother, there's also a chiyuv. Imo she eshet aviv, lo mechayev klal. Now it's going to turn out that if it's both the mother and the wife of the father, you won't be chayav at all. Because of the way that it's written now, you have a miut by imcha to tell you only aim and nothing else. You have a miut by eshet av to tell you eshet av and nothing else. So in a situation where you have both aim and eshet av, each one of the psukim will preclude the other, and then there's going to be no chiyuv by that case. Even though if independently it was an aim and not eshet av, or it was eshet av and not an aim, there you would be chayav arayot. Seems completely illogical. Vitu, the rabbanan nami aktiv imchahi. How do the rabbanan deal with the miut of imchahi? So yes, this is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. But then the Chachamim have to deal with the fact that Imchai is an exclusionary term, and it is a mute, and they would have to come up with the limud for that mute. Ela haumi bayile, like the Rav Shisha Breid Ravidi. We need it for Rav Shisha Breid Ravidi. Imchai is a limud that teaches us that din of Rav Shisha Breid Ravidi, and that's why the Chachamim don't have any other limud by Imchai. And where it says, Rav Yehuda Nami, haumi bayile, the Rav Shisha Breid Ravidi. Just like the Chachamim need it for this din of Rav Shisha Breid Ravidi, so does Rav Yehuda. Therefore, that can't be the explanation of their machloket, because imchahi is not available to create a miyut, and even if it was available to create a miyut, it would end up with this illogical outcome, where if you had an aim and a shadav together, you would not be chayav, whereas if it's just aim or just a shadav, you would be chayav. Now, what is this Rav Shisha Breid Vidi? He explains to us how we know what the punishment for ima is. Again, in the psukim in Achrimot, it says that both are restricted. Both an aim and an eshadav are restricted. Each one has its own pasuk. But if you go to Kedoshim and you speak about the punishments, the only punishment that's mentioned in Parshat Kedoshim in Perachav is Ish Asheishkav Eshadaviv Ervat Aviv Gila Mot Yom Toshneim Dmei Ambam. And Dmei Ambam told us that was Skila. So eshadav is subject to Skila, but what's missing there is aim. And that's what Rav Shisha Breid Rav Idi comes to solve, which is that he learns it out from the Imchahi, Behaviata Tehei Kol Tzadeh Shavim. Imchahi, your mother, in all instances, in all situations, has the same din. Tehi Cheicha De Imcha She Eshet Avicha Anashba. Just like in a case where it's your mother and your father's wife, that in that case you will get the punishment, because that's explicit in Parshat Kedoshim. Kach Imcha She Eina Eshet Avicha Anashba. So too, a mother that is not Eshet Avicha will all be subject to that punishment. That's what we need this pasuk for, or the Imchahi to teach us. And then Ervat Avichai also will be available for some drasha achrina, to teach you that you're chayav Eshet Aviv even after the death of the father. So what Rav Shisha Breid Davidi is, he has a use for Imchahi, and he has a use for Avichai. And we use Imchahi to teach us that mother and Eshet Aviv always have the punishment. That means whether it's Imcha with Eshet Aviv, whether it is Imcha without Eshet Aviv, the punishment remains the same, and that's Dmei Ambam, that is the punishment of Skila. And Avichai teaches you that the restriction of Eshet Av exists both while the father's alive, and then even after the father passes away. If that's the case, they're no longer available to create a miyut, to say that there's a preclusion of any item, and then you'd be chayav for both Eshet Av and Aim. But we still don't have then an explanation for Rabbi Yehuda's position as to why he thinks that only for Eim are you chayav, not for Eshadav. Now Rashi over here is perplexed as to why the Gemara doesn't ask the question directly on Rabbi Yehuda versus asking the question on Abaye's explanation of Rabbi Yehuda. And he says, "V'tmiyali, Milo actually the Rabbi Yehuda gufei." Why don't they ask the question directly on Rabbi Yehuda? Damishum Eim modilei dechayav. Because in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says you are chayav for Eim, not for Eshadav. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're going to have to learn the pasuk that says you're chayav for aim to tell you to say that imchahi, that when she is your aim, then you are chayav, and that is when she's your aim without any other restriction. And similarly, by the case of Eshet Av, if you say ervat avichahi, then you would also learn in the same way, that when it's just Eshet Av, of course you're chayav, but when it's Eshet Av with some other restriction, then again, it's only exclusively Eshet Av. And that's why you would read the psukim. You would read the psukim in order to reconcile them with this position of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that in the case of Aim and Eshet Aviv, you're only chayav for Aim. You have to read the pasuk in a way that says you're chayav for Aim in the case where it's just Aim. And then you'd have to read Eshet Aviv in the same way. And then it would result in the same illogical outcome, which is that in a case where it's both Aim and Eshet Aviv, each one of the psukim would be precluding the other isur, and you'd end up with no isurim. And in that way, result in an outcome where the psukim are a stira, one to the other. Because whatever the one is being mechayev, the other one is precluding from being chayav. And in that way, the Gemara could have asked the question directly on Rabbi Yehuda, even without involving the position of Abaye, because you have to explain Rabbi Yehuda's position, and Rabbi Yehuda clearly believes that by Eshet Aviv and Imo, then Imo is, you're only chayav exclusively for Imo. And if you do the same by Eshet Aviv, then you get the same result as Abaye's explanation of Yehuda, which is there's a stira between the psukim, and you would have to reconcile that stira. Therefore, Rashi says that in the Gemara, where it has the elongated way to ask the question on Abaye's explanation, where it says, Dahashta Imo, Shene Eshet Aviv, Vechule, that is not part of the girsa. Lishna yiteru, it's extra lashon. V'achigasinan. This is what the Gemara should have said. Kayohocho mikom ma'itla. Kayohocho ma'itla. V'tulo midi. And nothing more than that. Meaning that would be the question is really on Rabbi Yehuda, not on Abaye. And it is how does Rabbi Yehuda reconcile these psukim. And so in that way Rashi says, I don't understand why the Gemara didn't ask that. But in the end, he says, maybe if you alter the Girsa a little bit, you'll end up with that being the case, that the question is on Rabbi Yehuda and not necessarily just on Abaye. Because Tosfot says it's not obvious from Sukkim that the Pasuk is talking only about Aim or only about Eshet Av, because Aim does not preclude Eshet Av, and Eshet Av does not preclude Aim. Unlike other situations like where you have Bat Avicho Bat Imecha, where there it sounds like it's Bat Av and not Bat Aim, or Bat Aim and not Bat Av, over there then you need to deal with Bat that is both Bat Av and Aim, because the Psukim don't seem to support that being included, and that's why you need either a Kal V'Chomer or you need a Limud. But over here, where there's no indication that the Psukim exclude one or the other, then you would read Eshet Aviv to include both the case where it's Aim and not Aim, and you read Aim in a case where it's Eshet Aviv or not Eshet Aviv. There's no exclusionary nature to these psukim, and that's why Tosafot backs up Rashi's question here that the psukim themselves seem to be a stira, and not just the explanation of Abaye in Rabbi Yehuda's position. Ella, Amar Rav Acha Breder of Ika, Amar Kra. So this is the explanation of their machlokes. Ervata. It says that there is a restriction of erva. Mishum erva achat ata mechayvo, v'yata mechayvo mishum shtei ervot. That you only make the individual chayav for one erva, but not for two ervot, which is ervatim chahi, lo tegale ervata. So ervata is in the singular, and so ervata sounds like only for this erva will you be chayav, not for multiple ervot. So only for ima, not for eshedav. Eliyam me'ato, if that's the case, what are you going to do with the pasuk about a daughter-in-law? There it says, ervat kalatcha lo tegale, eshed bin chahi, lo tegale ervata. You think Lotegaler Vata teaches you that that item exclusively you're chayav for, but not any other restrictions. Hachanami, you're going to say over there, Mishum erva achat ata mechayvo, v'yata mechayvo mishum shtei ervot. Are you going to make the same limud? Are you going to say the same thing here, that the ervata teaches you that you only chayav for one erva, not multiple, only for kalato, his daughter-in-law, not for anything else? The problem is that Vatanat, our Mishnah says, abal kalato, chayav alea mishum kalato, person who has an illicit relationship with the daughter-in-law, you are chayav for kala, umishum eshedish, and also because this she is married. So there's both ni'uf, as well as a problem of kalato. Ben bechaye bino, ben achar mitat bino, that's whether the son's alive or whether the son has passed away, that restriction exists. Velo polig Rabbi Yehuda. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda does not argue in that part of the Mishnah. He only argues on the part of the Mishnah that's associated with aim and eshedav. But in the remainder of the Mishnah where they say there are two violations, he does not argue over there. So if he doesn't argue, that shows you that he believes that in the case of Kala, you're chayav both for Kala as well as for Eshet Ish. And that means that he's not darshaning this word Ervatat to be an exclusive term to tell you this one Erva and nothing else, because he doesn't invoke it when it comes to Kala. And that means that obviously he doesn't subscribe to it then when we're speaking about a case of Aim and Eshet Av. El Kevin Dechat Gufahu. Avagav the Trey Sure Ninu, since it's one individual where the violation is taking place, even though it involves two Isurim, Tiver Vata. It uses the singular form of the word. Achanami gave the Chadgufahu, Avagav the Trey Sure Ninu. So to over here by Eshedav and Aim, even though there's two Isurim, it's still considered to be a singular violation because it's one goof. There's only one person who carries both Isurim associated with them, and that's why Tiver Vata. It uses the term Ervata. In the Torah, despite the fact that they're two Isurim, it's written in the singular because it only involves a single individual. Elama Rava. So now Rava comes to give an alternative here. Kasav Rav Yehuda, Ervat Avicha, Zo Eshet Avicha. It says Ervat Avicha that references the Eshet Av. Umayti la b'gzeres shava. And you learn now from gzeres shava. Umashma ben Eshet Aviv shehi imo. Ben Eshet Aviv she'ena imo. So that means that it's a case where it's a Eshet Aviv that is his mother, or a case where it's Eshet Aviv that's not his mother. Imo she'ena Eshet Aviv minayin. How do your chayav where an aim which is not the father's wife? Tamalomar ervat imcha lo tegale imchahi mishum imo ata mechayvo v'yata mechayvo mishum Eshet Aviv. That teaches you that you're chayav for the aim and not mishum Eshet Aviv, because you already know from the pasuk of ervat avicha that those psukim are written generically. And Eshet Avicha should include both Eshet Avicha without being a name, and Eshet Avicha with being a name. So you see that Eshet Avicha with the name is already covered by that pasuk. So then what is the pasuk of Imcha coming to teach you? In the case of Aim, you're only exclusively chayav for Aim. You're not chayav for Eshet Aviv. Now, we'll go over this again tomorrow because we'll have to explain this more in detail. But basically what Rava is suggesting inside of Rabbi Yehuda's position is that the pasuk that says Ervat Avicha Vervati Mecha Lotigale Imcha Hi Lotigale Ervata, that the Ervat Avicha teaches you about Eshet Avicha. He learns that out from Gzeirah Shavah between here and the pasuk that is found in Parshat Kiddushim. And just like by Parshat Kiddushim it says Ervat Aviv Gila, that's referring to Eshet Av, so too the Ervat Avicha in the pasuk in Akrimot is also referring to Eshet Av. And how do I know that an aim that's not Eshet Aviv is also included here? Ervat Imcha lo tegaleh. So then what do I have Imcha hi for? Mishum imo atay mechayvo v'yatay mechovo mishum Eshet Av. And that's the limud of Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim would disagree and interpret the pasukim differently because they believe the Ervat Avicha in the first pasuk is not speaking about Eshet Av, but rather about Avicha Mamash, a case of Mishkav Zachor. And therefore the Imcha hi is used for the Gzer Shava of Rav Shisha Bered Ravidi, to teach you that aim is subject to skila, or in essence, it pasuk makes aim that is not Eshet Aviv the same din as Eshet Aviv. And then the subsequent pasuk of Ervat Eshet Avicha, that Avicha is referring to Eshet Av, because we don't have that from the first pasuk. Ervat Eshet Avicha lo tegale, Ervat Avicha hi, that's an Asarat Eshet Aviv after Mita. And so those are the two different ways to interpret the pasuk, that of Rabbi Yehuda and that of the Chachamim. But in the end, that will only allow the Imchahi to be an exclusive term according to Rabbi Yehuda and not Avichahi because he has a use for Avichahi. And in that way, Rabbi explains the Machloket, the Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in the Mishnah. And again, we're going to get back to tomorrow because there's a Braita that comes to support Rabbi's contention over here. And when we go through that Braita, we'll explain the breakdown of Psukim. Both that in Vayikra Perichaf, as well as that in Vayikra Perik Yudchet, that in Kedoshim, which deals with the punishments, and then Achrimot, that deals with the Azharot. Okay, we're going to stop here on the bottom of Nun Gimel Amud Bet.